Thanks for attending this session. I'm gonna talk about the use of optical sensors technology for the fertilization of spring wheat in Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico. It's nice that Dr. Cox presented her data before, because the job, I mean the program, is the same. It's under Masagro program. So this one is another component of Masagro, which has to do with sustainable fertilizer management. What is there? Which one? Okay, I think I'm going to. Okay, first of all, I want to give you an idea where we're located, and we're in North America, in the very extreme northwest part of Mexico, just right across the state of California in the United States. So as you can see, let me find the pointer. Sorry, the pointer.
I don't believe we have a pointer up here. I'm sorry.
All right. So that's where we are. Well, the justification of the study, as I said before, is that, as Dr. Koss told, we have high yields or wheat yields about 6 or 6.5 tons per hectare in average. That represents about $140 million per year, and generates about 3,000 jobs in the region. So, from the social perspective, it's a very important activity. I don't want to go through all those figures, but the production cost a couple of years ago, or 1 year ago, it was about $1,500. But the bottom line is that when farmers have to pay the credit that they receive to produce, they end up with around $6,000 per year, and that's very, very tight to sustain a family, as you can see. So that generates a state of discomfort, unrest among the people, and people get together and goes and makes demands to the government. In that case, in that particular case, that picture is from July of this year, just ending this production cycle, and they were demanding around $100 just to compensate and have a better income, because they weren't able to get that income from the crop directly. Obviously, the government is not able to pay that money for farmers, because that wouldn't be enough money to satisfy that need. According to a study of FIRA, which is an organism that gives credit to farmers, they calculated that the cost of production for this following cycle is going to be around $1,600, with almost 30% out of that representing only by fertilizer. So fertilizer was a good point to focus, to try to increase efficiency and bring more income to farmers. The other aspect of applying nitrogen fertilizers inefficiently is, of course, the environmental aspect. This study was conducted by Biman in 2005. He went to Ciudad Obregón in Sonora and worked with Dr. Iván Ortiz Monasterio, and they could document a nice correlation between explosion of algae in the ocean in the Gulf of California with heavily applied fertilizer applications in the region that run off to the ocean and cause this algae explosion. Remember I told you we're in that corner? Well, that is true for us too. You can see the algae explosion that hasn't been documented scientifically, but we suspect we're suffering the same phenomenon here. So the government asked our university where I work and asked us to conduct a study to start to increase nitrogen or the fertilizer use efficiency. So we reviewed the different options to manage nitrogen. We started reviewing soil analysis, the typical or the classical approach, and then other probably more recent tools like plant tissue analysis, optical infrared sensor developed by Oklahoma State University and promoted by CIMIT in Mexico, satellite images, also worked by CIMIT in very recent times. And the nitrogen index is a tool that is developed by the USDA ARS. By the time we needed to conduct this study, we thought that the Green Seeker, the four option, the optical infrared sensors, was our best option to test. So we tested the sensor, commercially known as Green Seeker. And Green Seeker is defined as a diagnostic tool that allows one to identify the optimum nitrogen rate for each individual farmer field and year. So the objectives of the study that we have been conducting through the years, in this case I'm talking about these two objectives. The first one is to generate a reliable yield prediction equation for locally grown wheat. That phase is known as calibration. And the second one is to compare with yields, fertilizer rates, and chemical fertilizer costs using the sensor-based technology versus the farmer's conventional fertilizer practice. That phase is called validation. Materials and methods, I'm going to talk a little bit about calibration experiments. That includes establishing plots with increasing nitrogen rates. And by the time of stem elongation, we go out to the fields and measure NDVI, which is an index that you know is related to many different aspects of crops like yield and other aspects. So by that particular stage of growth, we go and measure NDVI with the sensor, and later on we come back to those same plots and harvest the yield of those plots, so we can end up with measurements from the sensor, which are NDVI. And in the other axis, we would have grain yields. The objective is to build something like that. That one particular was developed by Dr. Ortiz Monasterio in Ciudad Obregón, Sonora, and he got some trend like this and end up with a prediction equation. I'm sorry. In Oklahoma State, they did it first and they obtained a model similar to this one. Dr. Arnold is a witness of that. He along with Dr. Ron worked very hard in developing this in Oklahoma State University, but later on with Dr. Ortiz Monasterio, and later on with us. Okay, so this is the model that we were expecting to get, as I mentioned, yield in one axis and NDVI measurements in the other one. That prediction equation is inserted into an algorithm that allows one finally to get a fertilizer recommendation based in the yield potential that is estimated since the stem elongation stage of growth. In other words, very early in the season, one can estimate what the yield is going to be and fertilize accordingly. Talking about the validation experiments, we run this for the last two cycles, 2011-2012 and 2012-2013. The main thing that I want to point out is that in validation experiments, that was done in farmers' field at a commercial scale. To do this, we need it's important or is critical to establish a nitrogen-rich strip, which is a strip in the middle of the field that you fertilize sufficiently to ensure that wheat is not going to be lacking of nitrogen through the season. So you use that as a reference to estimate what the condition of the farmer's field is going to be. This is just a very simple diagram showing that we established our nitrogen rich strip pretty much in the middle of the field. One side was managed by the farmer as conventionally done, and the other one was managed according to the sensor fertilizer recommendation. Now I'm going to speak about the results. At the end of 2011-2012, we had this model. The circle indicates that in the lower yields, lower NDVI, we had very little points at the end of that year. So that was our model. At the end of 2012-2013, for for some reason, and people speculate that it was due to a heat wave that was presented when the wheat was flowering, so that decreased yields all over the area. So for farmers, it was a very bad news because the yields were low. But as for the model, we could accumulate many observations in the lower part of the model, which increased from I think it was the R square was 0.6, and now we could increase the model for a more robust one. And now our square is around 0.81 or 82. So the model got stronger. That would give us more confidence about the prediction yields that we're going to have, and consequently the fertilizer rates that the algorithm is going to give us. Talking about the validation experiments in 2011-2012, what I want to point out is that column where the farmers applied 296 kilograms per hectare. While using the sensor, we applied 227 kilograms per hectare. That's a difference of actually 69 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And that representing savings coincidentally about $100 per hectare. The yields statistically were the same, yielding about 7.5 tons per hectare for the farmer or the sensor. And the following year, just finishing the cycle, we could again see that there was a savings of 67 kilograms per hectare from the farmers that participated in the field study. However, commercially, farmers can apply, the farmers that didn't take part of the study applied between 330 and 320, that would represent savings of about 80 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. The yields this year were 6.14 for the farmer and 6.07 for the sensor, so no statistical difference. That would represent a difference of 7 kilograms of grain. In other words, they applied 1 kilogram of nitrogen to produce 1 kilogram of grain, so that's very inefficient. That 7 kilograms that can be saved are directly going to, we don't know, but some of that could go to the ocean or to the atmosphere. So we conclude that from these results observed during the two consecutive... before I forget, and this figure that I gave you, 7 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, are in agreement with Dr. Ortiz Monasterio in Ciudad Obregón, Sonora, report the same exact figure. So that gives us confidence about our numbers are correct, are robust. From the results observed during two consecutive wheat growing cycles, it is concluded in Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico, through the use of sensor-based technology, it is possible to substantially save on wheat-related fertilizer costs, therefore increasing profitability for farmers, and to diminish environmental impacts by avoiding excessive fertilizer application rates. The advanced phase of the sensor-based technology is satellite images, which will be validated this same cycle along with the nitrogen index. That's the next phase of the technology. And with that, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Time for one question for Jesus.